Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I'm in the tomato garden today, weeding a bit, nursing my tomatoes, tying their stems with soft pliable tape. The robins are watching me. They love it when I water. And they're waiting for worms. The robins don't know about liberal political hysteria over the Supreme Court or why tech giants like Steve Jobs and Bill Gates didn't want their children consumed with electronic gizmos. The robins don't know about a judge arrested for carrying a gun in court. They don't know about viral hate videos popular in the dog days of summer. All they know is about worms and hawks. But I watch them here from behind the Iron Curtain. This is Radio Free Chicago. I'm John Cass, husband, father, a hunter of fine peaches, nationally syndicated columnist for the Chicago Tribune, and this is the Chicago Way.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand with pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
You can't get more local than your own backyard tomato garden. So just pardon me while I tie up this Polish linguica-based tomato. This podcast keeps growing. Yeah, it's the Chicago way, but we're also in the garden. We're doing two a week now. So all you got to do is plug us in to your phone, into your car, turn us on, and you can listen to the beautiful sounds of my voice, just like a nightingale. And Jeff Carlin, with his wisdom and understanding of science, like why you can die from a flesh-eating virus if you go out and catch some crabs in New Jersey. Find us on iTunes. Write us a killer review. You know, I said politics is local. Is there anything more local than yourself flipping channels, watching TV? No. And there it was. Flipping channels, turning on MSNBC, because I love listening to the sounds of Rachel Maddow crying hysterically over the Supreme Court. She's got this new theory that Brett Kavanaugh has been named to the Supreme Court so that Donald Trump, in a grand conspiracy, can defeat Robert Mueller by relying on Kavanaugh to protect him. I mean, they've just lost their minds. But going to sleep with Rachel Maddow weeping in my ear, gnashing her teeth, pulling out her hair, that's soothing. But you know what's not soothing? Just before she comes on, Brian Williams is on. Brian Williams? Mr. I misremembered? The guy who made stuff up? Didn't he misremember he was with Patton at the Battle of the Bulge? Didn't he misremember that he was with Leonidas and the 300 Spartans at the Battle of Thermopylae? Or that he crossed the Delaware with George Washington? I can't believe the guy's back on TV. He's been back for quite some time, but I've never really watched him. Although, now that Rachel Maddow is generally crying every night, I guess I'll tune in for a few minutes. There's nothing like seeing people rip out their hair and shriek and not understand what happened to them. If you watch The View, and most of you don't because most of you are sane, but sometimes I turn it on because I have to, listening to some of them on The View is like the sound of, well, I hope I'm not sexist here, but it's the sound of flesh-eating harpies. I don't mean women are harpies, but these women, they sound like the flesh-eating harpies in a great movie that I watched when I was a little boy, Jason and the Argonauts. You know, they had that Ray Harryhausen claymation stuff and the skeletons with the swords. And the harpies were particularly odious. There was a philosopher. Every day he tried to enjoy his lunch, a humble lunch of simple bread, fruits, and various cheeses. And as he lifted them to his mouth, some god or another sent the harpies to befoul his lunch. When I was a child and I read about this in mythology, befouling meant something else to me. But in the movies, they didn't go that far. They just showed the harpies purple, ugly little beasties with flapping leathery wings coming down and grabbing his cheese. And still, I'm intrigued. The Democrats are to the point now where Dick Durbin is telling Democratic senators from red states to fight the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. These are people that where Trump won their states by 10, 15, 20%. He's asking his membership, centrist Democrats, to commit political suicide. And why? Because he wants to suck up to the donors on the East Coast and the West Coast, both left coasts. One of those who doesn't have to worry is Kamala Harris, Democrat of California, Senator. And I love the way she protests. She, you know, it's the end of the world to her and everything. But what I really can't wait for is I'm hoping she'll kick it up a notch and wear one of those handmade tail get-ups with the potato chip hats. Oh, yeah. I love those hats. The handmaids. We also have some other news this week. Obviously, Peter Strzok, the Trump-hating FBI agent, will testify before Congress. And Vice President Mike Pence is in the Midwest. He's trying to smooth rifts between Republican donors, i.e. farmers, and the Republican Party. Now that Trump is the head of the Republican Party, and he's fighting a trade war with China, and he slapped tariffs on them, and they're slapping tariffs on our goods, and guess who gets hurt? Like I said, it was a dumb move. The farmers are going to be hurt. So he's running around trying to make sure that the farmers aren't too unhappy. But you know what? All politics is local, Mike. People vote their pocketbook. And is there anything more local than going out to the Forest Preserve for a picnic and getting harassed by a drunk? You may have seen the videos of what happened at the Billy Caldwell Forest Preserve on the north side of Chicago. A young woman is wearing a t-shirt that displays the Puerto Rican flag, and some cranky old white guy who looks three sheets to the wind like he was hitting the Jack and Coke early in the morning. Timothy C. Tribus, 62, demands to know why is she wearing a shirt with a Puerto Rican flag. Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory. Its residents are U.S. citizens. But Mr. Tribus, in his white guy drunken rage, starts yelling at her, "You should not be wearing that in the United States of America." He looks blasted. And even if he hadn't been blasted, those thoughts are coming out of his mind. So therefore, he's an idiot and a fool. He conveniently, for many on the left, he plays the white racist that gets clicks. People just like the drama, especially since no one got hurt. The woman calls an officer for help, you know, one of those Forest Preserve police officers, the kind that used to tell you to put your beer and your bong away back in the day. She asks for his help and asks him to restrain Tybus. And he turns his back. "Officer, I'm running this area and he's harassing me about the shirt I'm wearing," she says. He turns his back on her. Later, he admits in another video, So now I see what's going on. "But at no time," he says, this cop, Forest Preserve cop, no time was he going to attack you. He's just a big mouth." "Oh, really? So don't worry about it, officer?" "Don't worry about it. Unless, what if that was your sister or your mother or your daughter? Then it would be different, wouldn't it?" Now they're all running around. Tony Taxwinkle is apologizing. The Forest Preserve Police Chief Kelvin Pope is apologizing. The video's gone viral. It's an indictment of white racist fools, drunks, whatever. It's kind of depressing, but I've got another one for you. And this one doesn't fit in that same zone of comfort. It's not a stupid white guy drunk harassing a lady for a Puerto Rican shirt. It's a quite chunky and powerful African-American woman beating a 91-year-old man from Mexico with a concrete block and almost killing him. It happened in Los Angeles. 4th of July fireworks were just beginning. Los Angeles Times reports when Eric Mendoza realized his grandfather was missing. Thinking he may have gone for his daily walk, Mendoza walked around the Los Angeles neighborhood looking for him. What Mendoza found was a bloodstained sidewalk. As we go into this story, let me tell you that Rodolfo Rodriguez, 91, is a permanent U.S. citizen, born and raised and lived most of his life in Michoacán, Mexico. Apparently, he was walking on the sidewalk, 91 years old, not very spry, and he brushes past the child, 4-year-old, and the woman. Didn't touch her, didn't grab the child, isn't some kind of sex predator, just an old man walking. And she grabs the chunky mom with the power. If you see a picture of her, she looks like a person who could really swing that chunk of concrete. And she swung it again and again and again into his face. The old man, 91, had a broken jaw, broken cheekbones, 2 broken ribs. A witness took out her phone, tried to take video of it. She tried to help him. She said, "Why are you doing this?" And the woman with the concrete brick said, "If you come over here, I'll hit your car with this brick." And, of course, she didn't want to be attacked, so she didn't come over. Then later, the woman was attacking again. And then later after that, a group of young men, they attacked him too, on the ground. Arrested in this case, LaQuisha Jones, $200,000 bail. Charged with assault with a deadly weapon. You know what was interesting? CNN says a motive is yet unknown. Now, CNN speculates all the time about people's motives. But a motive is yet unknown? Why don't you use your brain, CNN? She's a hefty woman. She's African American. She looks like she can really swing that chunk of concrete on an old man's face. But no motive? Oh, I forgot to tell you. Witnesses said LaQuisha Jones was allegedly shouting at the man to go back to your own country, go back to Mexico, as she swung that chunk into his face, breaking his jaw, breaking his cheekbones, breaking his eyes, breaking his face. No motive? Go back to your country? You know what you're looking at here? You're looking at a hate crime. White-on-minority hate crime is easy for us to deal with in the news business. It's just easy. We're primed for it. We understand the liturgy of it. We understand the catechism. But black-on-brown hate crime? Brown-on-black hate crime? That's different. It's all hate, man. And this is the summer. And that's why I like to be in the tomato garden. You've
got yourself to blame, shame, all the shit. The waiting lines are long, they never get too far. Everyone wearing that medal with pride, heart is bizarre.
I can't let the Chicago Way continue without mentioning one little thing. It's considered glorious by many, the taste of Chicago. You know, the newspapers are full of the stories about where to go and what to eat and the fried alligator and all the different festivals and barbecue and all that and interesting breads. But for me, I'm sorry, it's just something I don't like about standing in the sun eating fried food in a crowd. When someone walks by, maybe even bigger and fatter than you are, and I know that's almost impossible for me, but let me tell you, there are people bigger than me. You know, it's so crowded. You know, they bump into you and they touch your arm with their arm in the crowd, and you get that sheen of someone else's sweat. Random sweat transfer. To me, random sweat transfer should be a damn crime. Get your sweat off me, man. I don't want your sweat on me. It ruins my appetite. There's nothing like, I guess, paying $5 for an ear of corn from some politically connected guy who got a prime spot in the Taste of Chicago, and you glop it up with butter, and you're standing out there in the sun, and somebody's eating the fried dough, and somebody's eating commercial ribs. I'm sure there's great food there. Don't get me wrong. I've had some interesting meals myself, some little bites of jerk chicken. I love that jerk chicken, but if I'm really going to get jerk chicken, I'm going to drive to Jackson and Pulaski and get it myself from the place, you know, that you pay cash and you speak through a plexiglass window, and it's got that little thing that turns around and gives you your change back, and stand out there and eat your jerk chicken on Jackson and Pulaski. That's Taste of Chicago too, but it's not down there. Going down to the Taste of Chicago, I don't know. It would be good, except for the crowds, the fact that you can't sit anywhere, and the random sweat transfer. I mean, those three things, forget it. But every year we have the mayor of Chicago taking little bites. You know, they have a press day, and they take little bites of food, and they say how wonderful it is. I don't know about Rahm Emanuel. He doesn't look like he eats a lot. I do remember Harold Washington liked the Taste of Chicago. He could eat. That man, he wasn't just taking a little polite bite. You know, he'd take a big hump and chew it down and laugh, swig a beer, have some more. The guy knew how to live. But random sweat transfer, that ruins the whole thing. I'm sorry, call me a prude. I just don't like other people's sweat on me. I know, it's kind of like a Larry David thing, I guess, but just ruins everything. For John Cass, mild-mannered, why am I saying for John Cass? I'm John Cass. For Jeff Carlin, WGN producer, co-host of the Chicago Way. Someday he'll come out to the tomato garden, maybe bring a pie. And for John Cass, mild-mannered, conservative columnist, out here in the tomato garden, when I'm otherwise not floating on a sugar cookie in the sea of liberal milk, hope you join us again sometime. This has been the Chicago Way.